mention very quickly that tonight I'm going to share a message with you that's on my heart about facing your future. And I hope tonight that you'll come back. We're going to talk about your very future. So I pray tonight that you'll be here. This morning I want to talk about standing in the midst of a crisis. Standing in the midst of a crisis. And I'm going to ask if you would to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at some verses that you, of course, are very familiar with. In this passage of Scripture, of course, Jesus is just fed the 5,000. And he comes to verse 22 in this passage, and you know it well. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him into the other side, while he sent the multitude away." The multitude had come and kind of smothered them, and after feeding the 5,000, we're going to talk about that in just a moment, they wanted to make Jesus king. So he put his disciples in the ship, in the boat, and he sent the multitude away. Then in verse 23 it says, "And then he went up, and then when he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. of that night, Jesus went unto them walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water," or on the sea, "they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. And then, of course, he said, "Be not afraid." So this morning I want to talk about the subject, standing in the midst of a crisis. Standing in the midst of a crisis. Crisis comes to every family and to every person. If you have not gone through in your life a crisis, you need to be ready today because it's coming. You need to be prepared for the future because it's coming. Maybe those of you sitting here this morning, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, because maybe you have just come through a crisis, or maybe right now you are in the midst of a crisis. When we think about that, we realize that a crisis comes to every family, every person. A husband sometime loses his wife and two children in a tragic accident. I hope and pray that none of you have ever experienced that. A wife is devastated when her husband has a massive heart attack and is taken from her family. She is absolutely devastated. A son loses a family business that has been in the family for over 50 years. And that is absolutely a tragedy, a crisis in any family. The mother of three small children, is diagnosed with cancer. And she's told that she has 3 months to live. That's a crisis. That's a crisis that maybe your family has gone through or you have faced. A family is facing a crisis because of divorce, because a spouse has been unfaithful, and therefore that family now is torn apart. So this morning, I want you to think about maybe what kind of crisis that you have been through. Maybe what kind of crisis that may be looming on the horizon for you. It may have been a marital, it may be financial. It may be something pertaining to your job. It may be something concerning relationships in your life. But maybe there's a crisis somewhere in your future. And you feel that, you sense that this morning. Or maybe you're sitting here, as I said just a moment ago, and maybe you're right in the midst of that crisis right now. So when you're standing in the midst of that crisis, where are you going to turn, church? Who are you going to turn to? When you're standing in the midst of that crisis, who in the world is going to help you get through that crisis? Who's going to be able to help you to be able to deal with that? This morning there are four things that I want us to see very quickly if we can. First of all, I want us to see that Christ directs our steps. I want you to think about that just a moment. In the midst of our crisis, the things that's going on in our life, the things that we are having to face in our life, if you will let Him, He will direct your steps. He will direct your steps. He will help you get through that. When we look at this, we realize that Christ has brought us to the point that we are in that crisis. I want you to understand something this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. You see, I want us to understand that God is permissive in allowing those kind of circumstances and those kind of tragedies to come to our lives. God is permissive. Now, I want you to hear me because it's important. I want you to understand that God does not will that upon us. He has never had a desire for anyone to divorce that has been married. He has never wanted you to lose your spouse in such a tragic way. But that is life, and that happens, and He permits that. Just as He permitted Job to go through what he went through and what he experienced, I want us to understand this morning that we are not any different. We have to go through those crises. We have to face those things. So it's important for us to notice that Christ is permissive. He allows these things to come and these things to happen. But I want you to hear me. When that happens, when you're going through the crisis, when times are tough in your life, I want you to understand that God allows that to happen for a purpose and for a reason. He allows that to come into our life. First of all, I want us to see in this passage of Scripture that Jesus, remember what I just said, now Jesus constrained the disciples. He directed the disciples. He compelled the disciples. He coerced the disciples. And even a stronger word, He forced the disciples to get in the boat. That's what the Scripture says. It says that Jesus wanted those disciples to get into that boat. He wanted them to go across to the other side. Why? Because that multitude had come in upon Him because He had performed the miracles that He had performed. He had fed the 5,000. He had met the needs of the people. And they were not interested in the spiritual, but they were interested in the miracles that He could do. And Jesus wanted to be alone, as the Bible says. So He sent the disciples away. So He coerced them. He constrained them to go to the other side. And that's important for us to recognize, because I just said just a moment ago that Christ directs our steps. And you must keep that in mind. You see, Christ permits. He permits two kinds of storms to come into our life. The storm of disobedience. My friends, listen to me. When you are disobedient from God, you better get ready because there's a storm coming. There are a lot of Christians in this world this morning that are disobedient. A lot of Christians this morning are walking away from God. A lot of church family, a lot of people that you know who one time filled these pews maybe, now they're walking away from God. When we're disobedient to God, I want you to believe with all of your heart that God is going to deal with that. So many times, He allows those storms to come. So there's a storm of disobedience. But I want you to also understand that there is a storm of discipline, of discipling. Because what He wants to do in the midst of that storm, He wants you to begin to see that you're going down the wrong path. So what He does is He brings about discipline in your life. And then when the storm comes in our life, maybe sometime He wants to just help us to learn some things. Amen? He just wants us to be aware of the fact that He wants to teach us concerning our faith, concerning our walk with Him, concerning our love for Him. He wants some way, somehow, to teach us. So therefore, He allows the storms to come. When we look over to John chapter 6, verse 15, we see why Jesus wanted to put those in the boat. It tells us, and this is the thing I want you to understand about things in the Bible. when he tells this story, when he gives us this scripture here, if you go to all of the Gospels, some may have it, some may not. Most of them will. All three or four will have it in the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in John chapter 6, verse 15, he tells us why he wanted those to go. And that's what the reason that I shared just a moment ago. He wanted because of the fact that they wanted to make him king. And he knew it wasn't his time for him to accept that responsibility. So my friends, he put the disciples there in the boat. So Christ permits these kind of things to happen. These kind of storms to come into my life and into your life. Because of disobedience, because of discipling us and helping us to become what God really wants us to be. This morning, are you open to that? As you understand maybe this morning why you're in the midst of that crisis, why things are going on in your life and it's hard sometimes to get a hold of it, but when you do, maybe it's because you've been disobedient, or maybe He wants to teach you something. He wants to help grow you. He wants you to become what He has planned and purposed for your life. Now remember this. In the midst of the storm, if you're in God's will for your life, it's safer in the midst of that storm, amen, than it is outside in the world. It's safer in the midst of a storm than it is, if you're in God's will, than it is out here in this world. Because God is directing your steps. He is directing my steps, and He is directing your steps. And it's important for us this morning to understand that. But I want us to note, secondly, this morning that Christ was displaying His love. His love for these disciples and His love for you in the midst of your crisis. When you're going through things, when things are tough, I want you to understand beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He's not given up on you. He has not forgot about where you are or what's going on in your life. But He loves you. And He proved that love on the cross of Calvary. When we look at this, I want us to understand that God is our great provider. Did Jesus know that the storm was coming? You better believe He did. My friends, listen to me. This world don't believe that today, but I'm telling you, God knows everything. God knows every single thing. He cannot be surprised in this world. Amen? He's not going to be surprised. And when there are storms, when there are things happening, when there are things going on in your life, when there are things going on in this church, when there are things going on in this community that is a crisis, the Lord knows that's coming. He knows that's happening. And He knew that those disciples were going to face a storm. Does He know that it's coming in your life? You better believe He knows. So when we look at this, we must understand some things. If He knows that, then my friends, I want us to be aware of the fact that Jesus is going to take care of it. If He knows that that storm is coming, He's going to take care of it. He wants to do three things. First of all, He wants to encourage your heart in the midst of a storm. When you are down and when you are having all of the world thrown upon you, and it seems like that you can't go on for another day, I want you to understand that He wants to come in His love that I talked about, displaying His love to you personally in your life. He wants to come and He wants to encourage your heart. He wants you to know that He's there. He wants you to know that He's still in control. He wants you to know that He's on the throne today in heaven, and He knew that that storm was coming, and my friend, He is already preparing to bring you through it if you'll just trust Him and if you'll just walk with Him. He's there to encourage your heart, but secondly, I believe that He's there to enhance your healing. Your physical healing, your emotional healing, and your spiritual healing. Folks, there's times that we need physical healing. We're in the midst of a crisis. Maybe right now you're facing something concerning cancer. Maybe you've got a physical and a medical problem that seems great, seems much bigger than yourself. I want you to know that God can handle that, and God will handle that. You need to understand that. You need to know that. You need to believe that. And He's there not only to encourage your heart, but to enhance your healing. He wants today to come and show you how much He loves you. He wants to put His arm around you today and pull you close and let you know that He's displaying His love. But not only to encourage your heart, not only to enhance the healing in the midst of that crisis, but it's also to empower your spirit. To empower your spirit, to give you hope. My friends, listen to me today. I want you to know this, and you know it. Outside of Jesus Christ this morning, there is no hope. Outside of our Lord and our Savior today, it doesn't matter what we accomplish, what we have in this world, no matter who we depend on or what we depend on. I want you to know today that you have no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are in the midst of a crisis today, if you're facing circumstances that are much bigger than you and what you know, my friends, listen to, I want you to know today that God is the only hope that you have. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope that you will have. He wants you today to know that He's in the midst of that storm. In the midst of that storm with you. And He wants to do all of these things for us in the midst of it. But the third thing I want us to see this morning in verses 25 and 26 is that He will come to you. Christ demonstrates His power in the midst of a crisis. He wants to come to you. Today, if you're there, if you're standing in that crisis today, you know someone that's in the midst of that crisis today, you tell them, you encourage them today and tell them that God wants to come to them. He wants to come and get right in the middle of it because He's the only one that can settle that situation. He's the only one that can change a heart. He is the only one that can change those circumstances. No one else. So He wants to come to you today. Wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening, He wants to come today to White Plains Baptist Church. He knows today where you are. He knows that you're without a pastor. And He knows that you must find one. There is, in a sense, a crisis that you need to overcome. So He wants to come to you today. He wants to come and be right in the midst of it, just as He did with these disciples. When we look at this passage of Scripture, God came to the disciples. You see, God is a protection. He's protective of me, and He's protective of you. You know, He was the one who put those disciples in that boat. And He knew that that storm was going to come. And He knew that they were going to encounter all of that rain, all of that wind, and all of that storm. Now what kind of Savior would that have been? What kind of God would that have been if He'd have put them in that boat, sent them out into the midst of that sea, knowing good and well that that storm was coming and it would take their life? What kind of God would it be? Well, when we see, we understand that He is a protective God. First of all, it's a fact, and you and I need to recognize it. We need to understand it. That He will demonstrate His power in the midst of our life. Jesus will come to you in the midst of the crisis. He will show up. You go back and you think about in the Old Testament, about Daniel's, the Hebrew children and Daniel. Right there in the midst of the fiery furnace, who was there? God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. They put three in there and they looked and they were four. So He showed up then. In the lion's den with Daniel, He showed up again. Time and time through this book and in Scripture, He was there. And I'll tell you this, and you better believe it this morning, that if you're in the midst of crisis this morning, if you will get down on your knees and you will pray, I promise you this morning that God will show up. He'll show up every time. He'll show up in my life. And He'll show up in your life. I believe that it's important for us this morning to recognize that He has promised us in His Word that He will never leave us and He will never, ever forsake us. He wants to come and calm your fear because we're fearful. But He wants to calm that. He wants to come and He wants to bring peace into your life. He wants to come and He wants to increase your faith. Folks, listen to me. We've got a precious lady that we know in the church that I just got through doing the interim in. And her daughter came down with a diagnosis of breast cancer. And Miss Sivia, I preached to her about faith so many times. And when this happened to her, she just absolutely lost it. And I'd call her, she'd call us, and we'd talk about it. And I'd tell her every time, I'd say, Miss Sivia, you've got to have faith. You got to believe. And folks, when we're in the midst of crisis, so many times we just fail to do that. You know what? Listen to me. Until you really are in the midst of a crisis and you have to exercise your faith, you'll never know how much your faith or how real your faith is. Are you going to just trust doctors? Are you just going to trust the bank? Are you just going to trust man? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to trust the God that created you, the God that gave you life? Are you going to trust something in this secular world that is damned and condemned and going to hell? Who are you going to trust? You have to have faith. You have to believe. Vicki, talking about this prayer thing a while ago. You know, it's good for women to get together and pray, amen? I mean, that's essential. But what about the men? While the women's praying here, the men ought to be praying here. Amen? That's one of the things that's wrong with our Southern Baptist Church today is leadership. Men leadership. God knows, I don't know what we'd do without the women. Amen? Y'all, I was kind of weak. Y'all can do better than that. You see, folks, you have to increase your faith. And then last, today but certainly not least, Christ will deliver you from that crisis. He will deliver you from that crisis. I want you to listen to me for just a moment. First of all, God's presence always enables us to overcome, to endure. Have you invited God to come in the midst of that crisis, or are you trying to solve it yourself? The Bible tells us over in John chapter 6 that Jesus looked, and this is the reason why you need to put all of those Gospels together concerning the same story. Because if you read it in Matthew and you don't read it in Mark, if you read it in Mark and you don't read it in John, because every Gospel writer had something to add. And the gospel writer of John, which was John, the disciple himself, you know what he added to that? He said he saw them struggling. He saw them toiling. He saw them out there by themselves in the midst of that sea. How did they get there? God had directed their steps. The Lord Jesus Christ had put them in a boat. He had directed their steps. And there they were, His disciples, those that He loved, those that He had called, those that He was protective of, those that He wanted more than anything in the world to carry on the kingdom of God, was out there in that sea, and there was the storm upon them. And God said, He saw them struggling. So what He did was, He came to them. His presence was there. His presence was there, but not only that, but my friend, His power was there and His faith was there to be exercised. His power was there and it was about to be exercised through the faith. I want you to understand this morning. It's important for us to. That there is no absolute storm or crisis that will last forever. It'll never last forever. But when you're in the midst of it, it seems like it will. I'm going to close with this, and I want you to listen to me. I was pastoring Calvary Baptist Church in Clinton, South Carolina in the year 2000. And I began to have some trouble, so I went to the doctor and they diagnosed me with cirrhosis of the liver, non-alcoholic cirrhosis. And I had a little bit of hemorrhaging going on and I was in the hospital for about a week. And I came home and I thought that everything pretty much had been in remission. I left Calvary Baptist Church in 2002 and left, and I went to Barkers Creek Baptist Church, which I retired from. And those years in between 2002 and 2005 were years that I worked hard, labored in the kingdom of God, did all that I could for man and for that church and for the Lord. But you know what happened in 2005? After I had spent the whole day at Ammed Hospital with a deacon that was dying with cancer, and I felt like that I was dying myself. But I stayed there at that hospital all day long with that deacon. I went home that night and I told my wife I didn't want any supper. I was really sick. She got up the next morning and she went Christmas shopping and left me by myself. And I went to the restroom, and when I did, there was a tremendous hemorrhage. I called her and I said, "You need to meet me at the doctor's office," which she did. And when I went to the doctor's office, they put me in the hospital in December of 2005. After about a week in ICU, the doctor, Dr. LaBelle, came to me, and this is what he told me. He said, "Arnold," he said, "unless you get a transplant, you've got about 6 months to a year to live." 6 months to a year to live. Now, I could go ahead and tell you a long story, and we could be here to 1:30 this afternoon. But to make it short and sweet, let me put it this way. After I was told that, my family was devastating. We were truly in the midst of a crisis. And we had a lot of things to have to sort through and a lot of things to do. But it was only through the presence and through the power of God that we were able to do that. On May the 21st, 2006, about 5 months after the doctor had told me that, my wife had gone to a beautician school because she had to renew her license. And my oldest daughter came down that day and she sat with me. And she said, we were talking that afternoon, and I said, "Honey," I said, "you know, I'm not going to get a liver. My stomach had already swollen so big, I couldn't breathe. I was going back and forth to Greenville Memorial Hospital probably about every 2 weeks to get fluid drawn off of me. I felt so, so terrible, and every single night when I would lay down and I'd look through the window that was in my room, the blinds that were there, I'd pray to God, 'God, don't let me ever see another sunlight. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to die," just like old Elijah that I preached on Sunday night. But God had another plan. But that afternoon, I told her, I said, "Honey, it's never going to happen. I'm not going to get a transplant. I'm going to go on and be with the Lord." And my daughter looked at me and she said, "Daddy, has God ever let you down? Has He ever let you down?" And I said, "No, honey, He ain't never let me down. And He's not going to let me down this time." And she said, "That's right, He's not." That very night, on May the 21st, about 9 o'clock, the phone rang. It was MUSC. My wife picked up the phone and talked to the coordinator there, and they said, "We think we got some organs for you." I needed a kidney and a liver, both. "I think we've got organs for you, but we're not sure. We'll call you back." So we went to bed that night, ready to go in case they called. And sure enough, about 1 o'clock in the morning, we got a call from MUSC. MUSC said, "We've got the organs. You need to come." So we got in the car and drove to Charleston, got down there about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. They did surgery on May the 22nd. Started about 9 that morning, finished about 10:30 that night. But this is what I want to tell you. I thank God so much for these organs. But inside of me right now is a young man who was 16 years of age in May the 21st or May the 22nd in 2006. So we've come 12 years or 11 years out now. But this young man that gave me these organs was in Walterboro, South Carolina on that Saturday night before. Young people, listen to me. You know what he was doing? He was drinking. Drugs was involved. And they were taking a gun and putting a bullet in it and spinning the chamber, and they were playing Russian roulette. And when Dustin put that bullet in that gun and put it to his head and pulled the trigger, he killed himself. They kept him on life support until that day, until my transplant. So I'm standing here this morning, a 72-year-old man living instead of a 27-year-old man or a 28-year-old man. But God had a plan. The plan was not to kill Dustin, but the plan was that some way, somehow, in the midst of the crisis that I was facing, God was going to supply that need. God was going to meet that need. Preacher, have you ever worried about the fact that somebody had to die for you to live? You better believe it every single day. I'm aware of the fact that I'm only here by the grace of God. And as I told the group Wednesday night, when I went through all of that, I told God, I said, God, no matter where you want me to preach, no matter what you want me to do, I will do it as long as I'm able. And I've never turned down a preaching assignment yet. And not going to. But I'm telling you that to tell you this, that God has the plan. God knew that there was a storm coming in my life. God knew that there was a storm coming in my wife's life. Because, my friend, while I went through the physical suffering, she went through all of the other suffering, the emotional. Because after that transplant, I couldn't speak, I couldn't walk, I couldn't do anything, and she took care of me like a baby for about 6 months for me to get back on my feet to where I was just felt like I was a human being. So what I'm telling you is this, church. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what the crisis might be, no matter how bad it may seem, I'm telling you today that God wants to do this. God wants to direct your steps. He wants more than anything in the world to display His love in your life. He wants to demonstrate His power, and He wants to deliver you from that crisis. If you will only trust Him, if you will only give your life to Him, if you will only place it in His hands and believe, God will do it. He might not do it the way you want it done. He might not do it when you want it done. But I'm telling you this morning that God will do it. And I'm living proof of it. So this morning I asked you a simple question for invitation. I'm going to ask our musician and Jenny to come. If you're here this morning, and you're lost and without Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come. I didn't say, were you a church member? I said, if you've never trusted Him, if you've never given your life to Him, if you've never given your life, would you give it this morning? If you're here this morning, and you're in the midst of a crisis, and you need Him more than you've ever needed Him before, why don't you just come this morning and say to Him, Lord Jesus, that's what an altar's for. Lord Jesus, I need You today. I'm in the midst of this crisis. Things are going wrong in my life. I'm hurting. I'm devastated by what's taking place. And I need the power of God in my life as never before. But remember, God sends storms to do what? Because of your disobedience, He wants to discipline. And because maybe of the fact that He wants to teach you, to grow in faith and trust Him and love Him. So whatever your need is today, I just want to invite you to come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. I'll be here at the front. I'm not your pastor. But if you want to speak to me, I'll speak. I'll pray. I'll do anything you want me to do. But I want you to come to Jesus this morning. I believe that it's important that we respond to Him. If you're in the midst of a crisis, your crisis won't get any better until you include the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's stand here.